What if the crap that you're dealing with really is happening for you? That's what we're talking about on today's podcast episode. I'm Ange Barnard, your host, and I'm so excited to talk with you about the crap in your life. I know that might sound weird to say, but I'm excited to help you see it in a different way, to reframe it for yourself, because I really do believe in some crazy way this is happening for you. And I got some stories for you that hopefully will inspire you based on some things that have happened in my life this past week that was just some crap, man. This past week was not the kind of week that I wanted to have, that I set out. The plan was to really relax and enjoy myself. And you know how we can be really intentional in our lives? We can, you know, put it out there. We can set all the plans up, do all the things so that it aligns and works the way that we want. And then it doesn't happen that way, because that's just how life is. And I think a lot of us need that reminder that we got to let go of control around things. And we need to find ways that we can bring peace and joy to everything that is happening around us versus relying on our environment to be stable and wonderful. So then if it is stable and wonderful, then we will feel good. Then we'll have peace. We can't be making our life and how we feel based on how other people are showing up or how our environment is. Yes, that impacts us, no doubt. But how can we switch from bringing the joy and the peace to everything and like having that come from within us? Because that's something that I've noticed I've struggled with, where I want to make my outside environment as perfect as possible, just keeping it real. Like I want the house to be really clean. I want my schedule to be the way that I want it to be. You know, I want to do my morning routine. I want it to work out exactly the way that in my mind I'd like it to be. And I want it to all flow and just like block out my time perfectly. And then, you know, do the things that I want to do in those chunks of time that I had planned. And like, we can all laugh about this because we know that despite the fact that we want that, that's not often how life is. And especially if you are a parent, you've probably experienced that you had a plan and your kids had some different kind of plan for that day. Or there's events or things that you didn't expect, or someone got sick or whatever it is. Even if you don't even have children, just like in a relationship with someone else, it's like other people's stuff impacts our life, whether we like it or not. And what I have been discovering in my life, this big lesson that's been shown to me, is that I need to stop making my external environment and other people determine how I feel. Like, my joy and peace needs to come from within, because I can't ever control how my environment is going to be. I can try, and I think it's important to set up things to make our environment set us up for success. But at the end of the day, that isn't in my control. How the environment is going to be, how other people are going to be. But yeah, so it's not a good idea to make that be the thing that determines how I feel. Because then we're up and down all the time. And you see people like that, like who their feelings are based on how other people show up, how their environment is around them. So right now, I've talked about this a lot on the show, we're doing a massive bathroom remodel. So it's chaotic. It's been going on for a few months now. And I want everything to have its place. I want to go back to like my intentional organization. I find that part showing up in me, that control-y part. But then I'm like, Ange, like, you got to find a way to thrive through the chaos. So like, that's what I've been realizing. It's like, how can I create what I need with what I have, what's currently happening? So I've been thinking about that. Like, how can I bring some structure here? How can I bring some joy here? How can I bring some peace here? And it may look different than it used to look before this was happening. And now we're in a different season. So things are going to shift around. Instead of being so attached, holding on to how it used to be. Well, it used to, and we do this to each other, like into ourselves. Well, it used to be that I could follow this routine. It used to be that my house was clean, you know, before I had kids or before whatever. It used to be that I made time for myself. Like, and we like compare to like our version that of what's happening in our life right now to an older version of ourselves when circumstances were different. And that doesn't serve us. So instead, it's thinking about like, hey, now that this is happening in my life, these current things are happening, what can I do to show up well through this? What can I bring to this?
What kind of structure do I need here? Because you can always bring that those habits, those structures wherever you are. It might look different than what it was. And this is also what I've been learning from traveling as much as I do. It's like so often, so many things are out of my control. You know, I'll think an environment is going to, you know, I book it online and it's got great pictures and all the things. And I think it's going to be amazing when I get there, and it's not. You know, the power goes out. I got some stories for you. We're going to talk about this. Normally I like to start off my morning routine with my either my cup of coffee or cacao or matcha or whatever I'm drinking with some almond milk. Well, in a lot of the countries I traveled to, it's difficult to even get almond milk. So that's a thing. Or maybe I don't have like the water I need. Like, you know, there's just things that are out of my control in that environment. So if I was like, well, I only journal when I have my coffee and I only do this, then it's like, that's not going to serve me because things are always constantly changing my environment. So what can I do there to create that kind of morning routine that I want, but it's going to look a little bit different? And maybe sometimes for us too, because I'm thinking about myself being a mom, how like I may be like every morning I'm giving myself, you know, X amount of time, but some mornings that might not be the case. Like, you know, if the baby's crying or whatever, sick or whoever needs some, like, then I'm adjusting and moving things around. So maybe that initial hour that I had planned turns into 15 minutes for myself. And it's only a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of that. Like, and I'm willing to be flexible versus being so attached or make a story up about how I'm crap if I didn't follow through on whatever thing it was. Instead, it's like, well, how can I show up well through this that is happening? And it's like when you start asking the right questions to yourself, you start creating better results for your life. And we really got to think about doing that instead of being like, oh, this sucks. And it's like, how can I bring joy to this? How can I bring peace here? How can I bring structure here? How can, like, thinking about that, you know, and versus being so attached. This also makes me think about food, because I know last episode we talked a lot about holistic living. And we talked about food. What are you consuming and what's in that? Well, y'all know sometimes you have intentions to be really healthy and you will go to a place and there are no healthy options or good ones or very few. And you got to work with what you have there. So that happened to me recently as I was traveling. I was like so excited because I was implementing all the things that we had talked about in our last episode, you know, around the kind of bread that I was getting, really considering the flour that was in it and me like bringing more vegetables and just focusing on really whole foods, organic, and just like feeling good, like fueling myself with things that made me feel good. Then I get to a country that's not really a big option for me, because when I went to go find bread or other things like that, like it was very clear that I wasn't going to find any of those healthy things. But yeah, I needed to eat for the week. And also the prices were crazy, in my opinion, for things. Like, let me put it into perspective for you. This is when I was in Jamaica, and I got stories about Jamaica, so we'll go there in just a bit. But when I was there, I was so shocked because things were, it wasn't just things that you're like, this is because it's, you know, it's, they got it from the U.S. and you had to bring it here to the island. That's why it's so much more. Like, yeah, some of that was the case. But even some local things, like, it just blew my mind how expensive some of these fruits and things were. Like, $9 for 15 grapes? What? The cheapest vegetable I found was a tiny cucumber that was $2. So I ate that thing. And then, things like I wanted some nuts because I was like, okay, we'll get like a good healthy fat. Well, an 8-ounce container of a not even quality nuts was $22. So I was just like, no, I'm not going to do that. Just the principle of it. We're not going to do that. So there was a lot of things that just blew my mind. And I tried to find ways to be as healthy as I could be while I was there for the entire week and make it work. In the best way that I could, like, even with peanut butter, it's like, oh yeah, this is not the ideal kind of peanut butter that I would want. It has more sugar in it. It has this oil that I don't prefer, especially after everything I've been learning. But I'm like, you know, this is what's available to me. So I'm going to find other ways to be healthy. So you know what I did is like I had I was consuming some of the things that weren't my favorite, but then I would try. I made it so I was like, okay, I can get bananas, I can get cucumbers, and I would was like making these like really random weird smoothies because I was just trying to work with what I had. I was like, well, I could do these veggies, and then I was going for walks, like just thinking about other ways I could be healthy, working with what I had, versus being like, I'm going to throw all my goals out because it's like this environment isn't ideal to that. So just forget it. You know, it's like that all or nothing mindset. Again, we got to watch out for that mindset. That's where the catabolic energy kicks in. Oh, I can't do the full workout I planned, so I'm not going to do any of it. Well, then do you have 5 minutes? What about if you had to jump in meetings right away during the day? Can you like take your little 5 minute break and get some squats in and maybe lift a few weights and then come back? Like, can you work with what you have? Those are the people that are successful, who don't make their success be about external things, and they find a way to thrive through the crap, through the things that they didn't expect to happen in life. And they remind themselves how resourceful they are. And I'm telling you, that feeling too of being resourceful, it just feels really good. I got to tell y'all, when I was in Jamaica for the week, I felt like really proud of myself. I know I was eating some of this food that I didn't really want to eat, but I was like, this is really cool that I'm making this work. Like, I found I'm going to eat this. I can live off of this peanut butter and bread for the week. And I'll tell you more about, we'll get into these stories about why I didn't go get more additional things to eat. But I like planned it out and I was like, I'm being like very resourceful. And I was just like, there was something that was like made myself so proud. It reminded me of hiking the Appalachian Trail and how you don't have a lot of things available to you, but you make the best with what you have and you become really grateful for the things you do have. It's like I found a little mayo packet in my fanny pack because I carried those regularly. But when I found one, I'd be like so excited. And I was, the same was true when I was in Jamaica. I was like, I do have a mayo packet inside my backpack. I can use that for my sandwich, you know? And that got me so excited. Or I remembered that I had the fruit gummies, like the healthy ones that I really like, the Soli brand. And I had some of those in my backpack. I was so excited that they were in there. And it's just like these little things that I appreciated so much more than, you know, I would have had the conditions been perfect. I think sometimes in our life, crap happens to remind us to be grateful, to bring us closer to God too. Just my personal opinion, because this past week, I have felt so aligned with God. I'm it's like I saw him move. And I think it was because more than I feel like I was seeing earlier, you know, before this traveling thing adventure happened, because it's like I felt like I leaned on him more. Like I needed him because of the circumstances were so uncomfortable. And it's like, of course, I always need him. This is what I'm, these are my thoughts in my mind. But like, I don't always pay attention to that. Like, I don't always work on building that relationship. But when stuff gets hard, you're like, daddy, help. You know, it's like that. So anyways, let's get into the stories. And I want you to learn from these stories, that these things that happened to me, because even if you can't relate to this crazy situation that happened, multiple situations, you can relate to the chaos that happens sometime in your life. I know that for sure. You can relate to that. You can relate to things not working out the way that you wanted them to. And being intentional about how you show up. That's what I want you to be thinking about through that crap and whatever is going on in your life right now. What would your best version of yourself do in that situation? That's what I want you to be thinking about. Even when, you know, sometimes with work stuff too, you might have dealing with difficult personalities. Oh, it can be hard. And thinking about how your best version would show up in that situation. I had a friend reach out to me recently about how he was really annoyed with somebody that wanted him to do something. And he's like, so he's going on a rant complaining about how he was annoyed a bit. And I get it. Like, I knew why he was annoyed, because he's like, I have already told him and he's constantly bothering me about, you know, whatever, going on his rant. And he's like, I'm going to send him this. So he sends me the message that he's going to send. And I was like, he's like, what do you think? And I was like, no, because it was coming from a catabolic place. And it was like, it started off with, I'm not trying to be a jerk. I love him, so I'm like laughing about this. But and then it was like, but that, right? And then you're firing back because he was annoyed. And that made me think about how, like, your best version of yourself wouldn't respond negatively to negativity. That's not what your best version of yourself would do. Your best version of yourself would respond from a place of love. You know, your best version of yourself would set the boundary or say, like, this is what's important to me and that's what I want to focus my time and energy on. And, you know, I appreciate you asking me, you know, sharing this other opportunity with me because it was in the situation that applied. But it's like, or I'm so sorry, I'm not able to do that because I'm using my time to, in this way, to honor these values. That kind of thing, it's like that's showing up from, you're being truthful, you're being honest, but you're showing up from a place of love. But sometimes we like react very quickly to like someone acting a fool and then they trigger us into that lower state. And then we come back with that negativity to them. It doesn't serve them because, you know, it don't make them feel good. And it doesn't make you feel good. It doesn't help the relationship that might need some mending and help. So, but this is where we got to do the work around really thinking about being intentional about our energy and the way we're showing up and stepping back and not reacting. That's what I talk about on my keynote. So I've been doing a lot of, I'm so blessed because I've been getting a lot of speaking opportunities recently since I've been delivering this keynote on the energy side of communication. People have been asking me to come out to speak at their events, specifically about how do we be more intentional about our communication in our energy in the workplace? How do we deal with people who show up with this negativity in a positive way? So how do we make it so their energy isn't going to bring our energy down? How do we shift their energy? And in some cases, you know, people always want to run away from things like the job that sucks because you're dealing with some negativity there. And you're like, oh, I'm going to get out of there. Like, I don't want to be around that energy. And then you move and you find out that you're in another position and there's that same kind of energy there. Why? Because there's humans there. So you can't always run from that. And I know we want to. You can't always avoid it. You got to find a way for you to have your energy not be dependent about the environment and what other people are doing. And find other ways where you can like generate that higher energy. And also that's going to have an impact on them. That's going to help shift that energy that's there. And just really seeing it too is just energy versus like sometimes we label people as like a crappy person, a fill in the blank swear words if you want, you know, with some people. But if you think about it, it's like what serves you is to think about it as like, oh, that person's generating this kind of energy. Versus like putting them in that box and labeling, because then your brain's going to start to always see that in them. And you don't want that. So instead, just being like, oh, this person is having this kind of energy generated. Or, you know, it's causing, and usually when someone acts a fool, like, why? Because they're usually going through something in their own life. So it just allows you to show up from a place of grace towards other people too. And that helps you out. So, okay, I got off on a little tangent there. But I feel really excited about what's to come with my keynote. And by the way, if you need a speaker for anything and there's an event coming up or something like that, and you really resonate with the stuff that I'm sharing here on the podcast when we talk about communication and energy and all that stuff, then holla, reach out to me because I have been really loving the fact that I get to go out and connect with people and speak. It's been so fun and I just feel like so many people need to know that about this work, you know, and to get take their power back versus letting, again, circumstances, other people, all the other things affect our energy. It's just not going to serve us. We can't do that. We can't always run from everything. You know, we got to find a way to thrive through the chaos, through the crap that other people sometimes bring. All right, I digress. You get it. Now, I got to tell you about Jamaica, and then we'll go into our stories that are going to be helpful. All right, y'all. So I booked a trip to Jamaica for the week, 9 days. And my intention was that my husband was leaving partway through. And I was like, this will be great because I have this super cute Airbnb. It has an ocean view and I'll be able to focus on my writing because one of the other goals and things I'm working on is I want to write this children's book. I never thought I'd be that person. I really didn't. But I have this thought around this specific book in honor of my baby Zion that, you know, is going to be born this summer. And I wanted to do that before he was born. It's just been a big goal of mine for a while actually to write a book, but it's like, now I feel like, oh, I would love to dedicate this to him and just have this for him and then be able to gift it to other people and have it also benefit the farm where my previous pig is living right now, where, you know, children with special needs come and visit on a regular basis and people going through hard times like dealing with cancer or loss or and then fun times too, weddings and celebrations. They go to this farm. It's just like this beautiful place for them. And that's where my pig was or is right now. And I want to have it be a part of that experience too, so like people can have it there and it relates to the farm. So I have this whole vision around it. And I was like, perfect, right? I can go to Jamaica. I can like lock myself there. Like, and when I say lock myself, it's like I've got an ocean view. I can just like be there with my own little writing retreat, right? After my husband leaves. So some people had warned us about Jamaica. And I got to keep it real, though. People warn me about traveling stuff all the time. They'll be like, you're going there? It has a travel advisory, you know. But I've been to so many countries, and I've realized that there's bad everywhere, and there's good everywhere. And there's some places, even in the U.S., that are super sketch that you would never want to drive to. And the same is true for other countries. You just got to be smart about what you're doing, you know. So I'm not scared of, like, warnings. I don't live my life from a place of fear. I do the research, you know. I'm not dumb. So anyways, I thought, like, so in this situation with Jamaica, I was like, well, we're going to a place that's owned by an American who this is her second home. I looked at all the reviews. There's even women solo travelers that had given it excellent reviews. And yeah, so I felt like it was a good situation. So I did all this research. All right. So we get to this place, super cute. As we're driving in the little town to get in, I just thought it was this is supposed to be one of the nicest places and safest places in Jamaica. Okay. Has that reputation. So we get there and, as we're driving into the little town, it's just like crazy. Like the music is loud. There's garbage. It's crowded. And I'm like, oh, I don't like the feel of this. And then we go into our Airbnb. It's like gated. And I was like, oh, this is cute. Okay. All right. Maybe we can make this work. But the drive to this place, there were some things that were happening that I was like getting those feelings like, I don't think this is going to make my favorites travel list, you know? So I get to the Airbnb and I'm like, okay, maybe this will be okay. Because I even thought like, well, maybe I should fly home earlier. Like maybe I shouldn't stay here. But then I was like, okay, this feels okay. And then my husband and I like tested some things out and he's like, because he wanted to make sure I was safe when he was going to leave because he had to fly to Seattle for a dental thing. And anyways, and I was just going to work from there. Okay, so we end up going out into the town to go get food and things. We realize very quickly how expensive things are. That just blew my mind considering the value of I've been all over the world and I have like the value compared to what you're paying was completely crazy to me, truly. One of the most expensive places I would say I've been to, which really shocked me, but also one of the not nicest. Just keeping it real. I'm sure I know there's nice areas and there are beautiful beaches and I was at a beautiful beach, but I'm just, my whole perspective of traveling to over 80 countries, that's my perspective. So anyways, we go into the town and one of the things that just, like when people are shouting out at you and always want something from you, and that's typical of some countries, but in this situation, there was an aggressive energy behind it. You know, it was kind of like, if you didn't give it to me, it's almost like you felt a little nervous about what they were going to do in that situation. So we went to one of the markets and this guy followed us around and he was like so friendly, you know, how that is. And what we knew were like the intention is like, you want something from us. And he was like, just let me show you around town, following us around. And we're like, dude, we know you're going to ask for money. So we just were. But the thing is like we were very mindful of how we showed up with this person because it's this energy of you don't want to make someone upset because it like you don't know what's going to happen. Like I felt that. So anyways, he followed us around. He showed us a couple things. And there was it at the end of it all, we're done. We were like to get away. So actually backtrack. So my husband had no money on him. And I knew this dude was going to ask for money at the end. And what I did not want to happen was us to have to open up all of our, you know, my bag and pull, like have him see the money. And I just didn't want to go there. So, and I wanted my husband to deal with it. So what I did was acting like I'm holding my husband's hand, but I ended up putting like a $10 bill and a $5 bill in his hand. And as soon as he felt my hand, he could feel the money. So he knew what was up and he like squeezed my hand. So then I like moved my hand away and I distracted the guy and have him, I asked him a question and pointed out to the ocean so that my husband could like put it in his wallet. And then that way he could say, this is all the money that we have. You know, if the guy wanted more, he'd be like, this is it. So it's like $15 there. Cause I knew like $5 wasn't going to be enough and 10 wasn't going to. So I'm like, okay, let's just end, like limit it there. So we tell the guy we need to go to the store. So we like, they're like, well, we're going to the store. Bye. You know, trying to leave. And he's like, he's like, okay, so for the tour, mind you, the tour we never asked for. He's like, for the tour, I need money. And so first my husband pulls out and gives him the 10. And he's like, this is not enough. And, you know, then my husband was like, okay, like we knew he wasn't, it was like, we weren't going to leave unless we gave him more. So he ended up pulling out the 5 and he said, this is all we have. Like, and you could see like in his wallet, like, this is it. And then he's like, the guy's like, oh, okay, bye. You know, he ended up leaving. And it was so annoying because we're just like, oh, like, we just hate dealing with that. And I know that that's not really like that big of a deal, but then it's like, it's easy to fixate on that for the rest of the trip. And I found myself being like, oh, these people, this is so annoying. Like, I don't want to deal with this. This is this town. And like, I don't want to go out. And my brain started just going to all the negative things because this one thing happened. And then I was like, stop, Ange. Like, this isn't serving you to fixate on this. So instead, we just started laughing. He said his name was Ricky Martin. So we like laughed about that. Like, Ricky, we're like, that is totally not your name, I don't think. But anyways, we would like laugh about that. And we would just be like, now it's like an inside joke, you know, around certain things. And we're like, we moved on it. And we're like, okay, like whatever. Like we're beyond this. Then my husband and I decided that we were just going to eat at this really bougie place that was another gated community that was right next to us. And it was, I think it was like $1,500 US a night to stay there. And like, it wasn't an all-inclusive. Nothing was included in that price. But they had a restaurant that was on the water. So what we ended up doing was we found out that we could actually wade in the water to get to their restaurant from our place and avoid the streets. So we ended up doing that. And it was so, it made me laugh so hard because we would come out of the ocean and then we would walk up to the restaurant. And I think like the people that were there are like, what is going on, invaders? Because they have like this full out security area, but we're coming in from the water. And they ended up knowing who we were and they knew I was pregnant. And we went multiple times to this restaurant because it was, we just felt really comfortable there and it was really beautiful view. And it was really fun that we got to do that. And just like, I told my husband that I had felt like a water rat just coming out of the water looking for food, you know? And it just made us laugh. So that was cool. And we decided then that I feel like I was going to be okay for the week. I'll get the food that I need. I'll just keep myself, you know, locked in. Maybe this is really good for me because I can focus on my writing because I'm not going to be going out very much. And I promised my husband I was only going to walk outside into the parking lot and just do walks back and forth because that's all gated and there's some security there. And I felt good doing that. So I was out there one day doing my walk. And then I start hearing what sounded like gunshots. Boom, 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 boom. And I immediately bent down, like got on my knees. It was my initial reaction. Like with, I don't even think I thought about it. It was like all these sounds were so close to me. So I just like jumped kind of down to the ground and hunch over. And then I looked up and I realized that it was just this electric pole that had caught fire. And it was sparking. So that was making the boom, boom, boom sounds. And the pole had fallen off kind of down a bit. And it was right next to where I was walking. So that was so loud that it startled me. And that's why I had bent down right away. But once I saw it was the pole, I was like, okay, we're good. You know, I didn't get hit by this pole. We're fine. I'm going to get up and walk down to see what's going on with the security guard. So I went down there and I said, hey, I was like, did you hear everything? And she's like, yeah, I thought that it was gunshots. And that had me concerned because I was like, you did? That was your first thought too? You know, why is that? So anyways, so then I said, I think the power is probably out, I'm assuming, because it looked like it was connected to everything. And she's like, I don't know. I think so, but because I saw electric vehicle or whatever drive by. So I went and I checked, and sure enough, it was out. And then I went to see if the restaurant on the beach where all of the marijuana smoking and the smoke in your face stuff was happening, I knew they had Wi-Fi down there. So I was like, maybe they have Wi-Fi, because I was worried that my husband was going to be worried because I didn't have power and I had no idea when it was going to come back on. And I don't have a data plan. Like when I travel internationally, I usually just rely on Wi-Fi. I never pay for like the international travel stuff. Some people might think that's dumb, but we just rely on the Wi-Fi. And anyways, in this case, there was no Wi-Fi and there was no electric. So there's no charging your phone. There's no way to contact my husband. And I thought he's going to be really worried if he doesn't hear from me. So I thought maybe the restaurant had the Wi-Fi, went down there. No, they said the entire part of the island was out of power. And who knows when it's going to come back on. His response was, because I said, are they working on it? How long do you think it would be just from your experience? And he's like, it's Jamaica. Who knows? I'm like, okay. So I truly felt peace, y'all. Like I really did after that. Like I was like, it's okay. God's got me. I'm going to figure this out. I mean, I can just sit outside on my balcony right now. It's still light out. I'll figure out somehow some way to get a hold of my husband. Maybe I could find someone to see if they have data and they could just text him. Like I'll find a way. All will be well. So I end up going inside and mind you, let's just share this creepy fact. As I was walking back up, I have this big belly because I'm almost 7 months now pregnant. So it's very noticeable. So I was walking up and this guy was like, can I kiss the baby? And I was like, what? He really just say what I thought he did? And I was like, what? And he's, can I kiss the baby? And I was like, you know, the awkward, like I'm creeped out, laughed, or like a smile, like, I don't know what to say in this situation. I just kept walking fast. He kind of laughed and walked away. Well, sure enough, that freaking dude was sitting outside the picnic table outside my balcony when no one had been out there like at all. It was just my balcony view with the ocean and it was very peaceful. And then I didn't feel safe to leave my doors open to sit out there by myself because I didn't want him to catch on that I was by myself. So I'm like, what the heck? So I shut the door and it's so hot in there. I shut the door and I'm just like sitting there trying to think about what to do. And eventually he ended up leaving. So I went back on the balcony and I sit there and it's like breezy and I'm like feeling good. And I'm just writing, journaling. And then I got to the point that I had been sitting for hours and I just was like, I can't sit anymore. So I got up. And then on top of this, y'all, the food that I had planned on making, I couldn't make because it was all raw. And like I had nothing to like the stove wasn't working to make any of it. So, but I did have my bread and my peanut butter, so we're going to be okay. We're going to live. Anyways, I got up because I was like hurting and I look up and there was this huge rainbow. Like it's beautiful rainbow. Like the pictures, I took a picture of it, it didn't do it justice, but it was there very quickly and then it was gone. And I just knew in my heart that that was the God wink. When I looked up and I saw it, I was like, I see you, God. Like you got me, you know? And I remember seeing a rainbow just like that the day that I launched the podcast. It was like right when it was done, I launched the podcast, I went outside, and there was this beautiful big rainbow. So I just felt like it was God speaking to me. So I see the rainbow and it goes away very quickly. I open the door, I go inside to the apartment, and I see the coffee maker turn on because the electric had gone out in the morning. So I see the coffee maker light turn on. I was like, the electric is on. And I saw the fan start to go and I was like, okay, awesome, you know. And then I heard a ping, ding on my phone. And I looked down and I had gotten an email. And usually I usually have my phone, I do not disturb, but for some reason I must turn off. I didn't realize I did because it dinged. And I looked and I had gotten an email that said, congratulations, you have been selected as a TEDx speaker. And y'all, if you've been listening to the podcast, you know that that's been one of my big goals. And you know, I've had so much imposter syndrome around just like this whole process of helping so many people. And like my track record for helping my one-on-one clients land their talks is 100%, 100%. And then on top of that, it's like, I'm struggling on my own end and hadn't like, you know, just so much crap. And like, I feel like I knew God was working. I knew he was doing stuff, but I just like, sometimes it's so hard to have that faith, you know? And anyways, So I see that. And I just felt like it was, again, another God wink. So I'm speaking in a couple weeks, which is insane. And not even. No, I think I have a week now left. And it's going to work out. And I also feel like, too, there's other relationships that God had been growing in my life where I got connected with my friend who lives in the area. So it's actually, I can just stay there. And it's the perfect environment for me because there's Wi-Fi. I have my own room and bathroom. I don't have to be a burden on her. And then I also can focus because I'm actually working that week that I'm going to be there to speak. And it saves me like a lot of money, like $1,000. Well, for me, I felt like $1,000. It's like another $1,000 that I don't have to pay out at last minute. And the tickets, you know, when you're already doing something last minute, it's really hiked up in price. But it's like that relationship, God was working on that relationship too, because we connected over the fact that she has a baby boy and I am going to have a baby boy. So it's like so cool to see, like I see where God was working. And then my other friend, if you listened to the podcast a while back, you know that one of the last persons on our coaching team that helps people, you know, write and land TEDx talks, deliver them, all of that stuff. She, my buddy, had booked her talk, and I was the last one that didn't. And I felt like alone in that. Well, I'm speaking on the exact same weekend or day that she is. And that's how God moves. It's insane. So anyways, I just had to tell you that story because it was really cool. And that brought me a lot of joy because I was like, I see you working even when stuff sucks. Like, and I have to trust you that things are working out for me. And maybe like letting go of my control around how I want it to be. Like I did. And my intention too, I went to Jamaica thinking like, I'm going to work on the book for Zion. Like that's all I'm going to do. That was scratch because I ended up having to shift gears and focus on my TEDx talk because that just came up. But I had to be willing to let go because God's plan was better than mine. But I was still intentional about what I was doing. So just like, are you willing to let go, open up to something being better? Because watch your attachment energy around stuff. Watch how you can be so frustrated that you want it a different way. What if it's happening for you? What if there's another plan? I just want to invite you to that. Even sometimes I deal with really difficult people, you know, like even in the TEDx space for coaching, sometimes people, you're just like, what? Like there's so much weird things that they say and do and negative energy that they bring. Very few, but I mean, sometimes that happens. And I think like, what if my role here for you is just to show up in from a place of love and hold space for you and help you be seen and feel heard? And maybe it's not really to help you land this specific TEDx talk right now in your life. Maybe there's another reason. And I'm just always trying to think that way. Like maybe there's another reason for this. Maybe there's another lesson that's supposed to be learned, or in some other way this blesses someone, or maybe this is meant for whatever it is. I love getting myself into that mental space. And then my brain starts to see the good. It starts to look for it. It starts to look for that reason, and it shifts my energy. So in a nutshell, that's what I want you to think about in your specific situation. Okay, I know this is getting long, but I got to tell you one more story. I try to keep this short and it doesn't work out, but I'm not attached. Okay. So, okay. How am I going to tell you this? So first off, let me backtrack to something that's a little more positive. And that is this. So one of the songs that have really helped me, like first off, Forrest Frank, I love all of his music. I think it's hype. It's also like got swag to it. And then it's also uplifting and, you know, it's faith-based and I just love it. So the words that have been really resonating with me are from his song, Hallelujah. And it's Hallelujah, I'm set free. And right where I'm standing is where I'm supposed to be. Hallelujah, I get to be me. And just the way you made me is how I'm supposed to be. And that really resonates with me. Some of his other songs that talk about how you're not like, again, you're right where you're supposed to be and like you're not missing out on anything, you know, just like the lyrics have really like stood with me and lifted my spirits. And it's like fun the way that it's presented. It's not like the slow hallelujah. I don't know. It's just different. Hallelujah. Okay. It's a hype one. And anyways, that's really helped me. So I've been listening to that each morning or something like some kind of music like that while I move my body. It's like a way to also, I think, program my mind as I'm moving my body. So I love that practice. Okay. So been doing that. And then I leave my place, my Airbnb. This guy picks me up that was recommended by the Airbnb host. And so I felt like that was going to be safe, you know, to have him bring me by myself to the airport. But the entire week, I had talked to this dude probably 7 times back and forth about confirming the time. And he'd be so confused. And he would call me and be like, "And what time am I getting you in the morning?" And I would tell him, and he'd be like, "Okay, yeah, man. Yeah, okay." And then he'd call me again. And I would just be like, is this not clicking? Is he okay to drive me there to the airport? So he did show up. And he seemed like a nice man. And then, of course, he did the stuff that they do. At the end, even though we had agreed upon a price, I had tipped him then above and beyond that price. And I was like, "Thank you so much." And I gave him the money. And then he's like, "This isn't enough. I need more." And I'm just like, are you kidding me? And at this point, it's like, you're in a vulnerable position. You're not going to argue with this person. So I end up pulling out another $20. And I gave it to him. And I get out, and I'm at this hotel that had good reviews. And it's, so I get there, and the person's not, no one's around to check me in. So I'm just like standing there. And the lady comes, and her first thing she says to me is, "You're early." And I was 12 minutes before the check-in. Mind you, I emailed them and told them I was going to be early because I thought I was going to be hours early. But then I had a TEDx thing. So I actually ended up coming a little bit later. Thank you, Jesus, because otherwise I'd have to sit there for hours at the place before my room was ready. And I would not have wanted to sit there. So anyways, and so then she's, you know, checking me in, and like an annoyance kind of energy. And then she says, "I accept tips." And I said, "What?" Because at first it kind of shocked me. And she's like, "I accept tips." And I was like, "Oh, for handing me my key tomorrow? All right. And being mean to me, you accept tips for that?" So I just knew. I was like, here we go. So then she brings me into the room, and she stands there just like waiting for her tip. So I pull out $1 and I gave that to her. And I think she was annoyed by that, but whatever. And I said, "Hey, you know, I also messaged about getting a ride to the airport because my flight, I need to leave at 5 a.m. And the person told me that that was easily arranged and to remind you guys when I got here. And she's like, "Okay." And she comes and yells at this guy to come over. And the guy says, he comes over and he smells really bad. So he like comes into my room and he's like, "Yes, and it's going to be $35. Or I think he started with 40 and then he dropped to 35. And I was like, "No, they told me it was $15 to $20. Mind you guys, it's 3 minutes from the airport, literally 3 minutes. And he's like, no, starts yelling. And I was like, "I will not ride with you. I am not riding with you to the airport." And I looked at her. I was like, "I want to talk to someone else and see who else can bring me to the airport." And at this point in time, I'm just like, this is awful that I'm here right now. Like, I don't even want to be here. The music was excessive. There was, like, again, smoking, all the things were happening. So then she ends up saying, "Hey, the manager's going to come in later. I'll get him for you. Don't worry. We'll find someone else for you." And I said, "Okay." So later she comes and knocks on the door. I had locked myself in this room because I was like, I'm just going to stay here. And I only have so many hours until morning. And then I'm going to go back to the U.S. and all will be well. And she ends up coming in, or I opened the door, and she says, "I got you a ride in the morning." And I said, "Okay, how much is it?" And she said, $30. And I said, no. And I said, "We already talked about this." And I truly didn't have any additional cash on me. She said, okay, then he'll do it. Don't worry about it. So can't sleep all night. The building is literally shaking from the music blasting. And I went to go get food right next door because I didn't have any other options. So I walked over there. While I was walking over there, someone got mad. Like, they were trying to sell me drugs and alcohol. And then I was trying to ignore them. And this lady was like, "They're talking to you." These guys that were shouting out at me. And I was like, "No, thank you." You know, and then I went to go sit at the bar, smoke blowing my face. I grabbed my food. I ended up taking it to go. Like, this is my whole experience. So then at night, the room is like, you know, the music's blasting. You're not going to sleep. I didn't sleep. So I was just working on my talk and I had the door locked. And then I wake up, I think I fell asleep maybe like a half an hour or something. And I get up and I'm like, okay, like the taxi guy's going to be out here. And all of a sudden it was like quiet, like so quiet. Like I was like, what? Because it was a crazy party scene. And then it was like ghost town, and it was a full moon. So I open up the door and this couple walks by, this European dude and this Jamaican girl walk by. And she said, "Good morning." And I was like, oh, good morning. There are only people around. No one else is around. And the gate is locked, like in the front. And I was like, the gate's freaking locked. How is my taxi going to get in here? But then I saw you could actually could push it open, but it was like shut. So no one could pull in. So I get myself and I'm like, okay, he's going to be here soon. No, like a half hour pass. No, not there. And my flight is boarding in a half an hour. So I was getting really nervous and no one's around. And then that couple that was walking around, he was all frantic because he couldn't find his, he couldn't get into his room and they had been partying all night and his buddy, he can get a hold of him. So he was on a 7 a.m. flight. So he was all like, what am I going to do? Freaking out. And I felt peace, honestly, that he was there because it was like, at least there's someone kind of around, even though he's frantic and all worried. And which I don't know why he makes dumb decisions, but judgment, like we'll talk about that later. Because then I asked the chick, I'm like, you guys, are you going back to the U.S. too? And she was like, no, I'm Jamaican. I just met him for the night, you know. And yeah. Anyways, so I freak out in my mind because I'm like, what am I going to do? There's no one around. It's pitch black besides the big full moon. And I got to be at the airport. So the guy was like, I said, is anyone here? Because he said he was trying to get into his room and he couldn't. He's like, there's a guy upstairs that I think he's the guard. I was like, upstairs? So I looked upstairs. It's like dark there. I'm like, where would he be? So I walk up the stairs and this guy's like passed out in a chair. He's a young dude with a hoodie on covering his face, passed out in the chair. And I said, I shake him by the hand. Like I grab his shoulder. I was like, tap him, you know? And he wakes up after I'm like grabbing him and he like looks at me and I said, hey, I was supposed to have a taxi that was promised to me this morning and it's not here and I need to go to the airport. Can you help me? And he's like, okay. And he picked up his phone. He's like, you want me to call someone else? I was like, I don't know. Whatever you got to do, I got to get to the airport soon. So he ended up calling someone and he didn't tell me like the guy's coming. He didn't say anything. He didn't communicate anything with me. He ended up calling downstairs and then he was trying to find a key for the other guys. So he went into another room and was gone. And I was like, well, what is going on? So then I go stand by the gate and I'm like praying. I'm like, God, just help me get home, please. You know, I go stand by the gate and this car drives by and then it whips back around and this guy rolls down the window and he's got, just so you can, like what he looks like, he's got dreads on, big chain, gold chain and like black leather and the only guy around. And he said, hey, you need a ride to the airport? And I said, yeah. And he's like, okay, come, let's go. And then I was like stepping away from him and my body language could, like you could show I was scared. Cause I was like, well, I don't know, maybe this other dude can come with me. The other European that was like trying to find his key. And so I like backed up and I went behind the gate and he said, don't be scared. I'm not going to hurt you. And I was like, I'm not scared. You know, like trying to act like I wasn't. And then I was like, I just need to go talk to this person real quick. So I like backed up and I didn't know if this was the dude he called either. So then he knew I was terrified. So he ends up getting out of the car and he walks into the gate and he's like, it's my family's place. Don't worry. You can trust me to bring you to the airport. But he didn't have one of the taxi symbols that a lot of these other vehicles had. Guys, it was just sketch. It was dark, this full moon, this creepy vibes, everything. And, so he starts yelling like Signy or whatever, like whatever the other guy's name who called him, because I think he wanted to show like, hey, we know each other. And I ended up just being like, okay, God, like help me. Like I'm just I don't have another option. So I ended up getting in the car with this dude and he starts heading towards the airport and he takes a detour. Like he's not going to the airport. He goes a different direction. And I'm just like, am I going to die? You know? And I was just praying again. And he was like, oh, we had to do another detour because this stupid airport, like they just changed this thing. And he was like saying that. And I was like, oh, please let that be the case. And it was the case. It truly was. And he was actually seemed like a very nice guy. And I was like, is he going to do the stupid money thing with me again? You know what I'm getting out. But he didn't. I handed him like a $20 and I was like, thank you so much. I appreciate you. And I grabbed my stuff and got out. But it was like before that, though, there was like a little bit like he was asking me questions. He's like, so you're traveling alone. And why didn't you come out and party last night with everybody? And he couldn't see that I was pregnant because I had this big sweater on because I was like hiding that, too. And my mama protective hormones were like through the roof. Like I've been so like, you know, worried about like when I'm not normally like that about being protected, being, you know, whatever. This was sketch though. But anyways, I get to the airport, and long story short, it was a huge blessing because they were so kind to me at the airport. They moved me up in the comfort section because the lady initially, it was a little God wink there. Like, she was not going to do anything for me. I could tell initially. But then she just, I don't know, something just shifted in her, and she moved me up, and I got better snacks. I can go, you know, stand up easily, do all the bathroom. All was well. I got home. I went to the airport. I got to see my husband because he met me in the Indianapolis airport for us to drive home. And it was great. We ended up coming home, got to hug my fat cat the moment I was waiting for when I got home and to be in safety. And it was all a blessing, like when it was all said and done. And when I look back at this past week, even though it was not the kind of week that I wanted to have in a lot of ways, the blessings that were there, like the fact that I really felt like I reconnected with God during these hard times. And I know people have it so much harder, and people can be like, oh, boohoo, Ange, like you had this like stressful time in Jamaica with an ocean view, like, you know, but everybody has their own stuff. Like, we can't compare our bad to other, like, you know, we do that. And it's like, oh, I'm not worthy of feeling bad about this situation because someone else has it way worse. No, it's like, we're all worthy of the way that we feel. I digress. But anyways, I really feel like those moments, sometimes the only thing we can do is call out, you know, to God or whatever you believe in. And it's like you, it's the stronger connection. And when you start to look for how you are supported, you will see that. You will see the blessings. You'll see the goodness. You'll see the God wings. And there was reminders there for me too, because when my husband ended up leaving halfway through, I was like, why didn't I just go with you? Like, because initially I was thinking about just flying with him because it was his last conference thing and just being with him. But I didn't really want to go because I just truly, I was like, I don't want to be in that environment in the city. And I just like, I want to be somewhere peaceful. And it was more about like what I wanted. But in those moments, I realized, I'm like, what matters most to me is my love, like with him too. Like, cause, and it's like, yeah, I might be in a situation that was a little uncomfortable for me, like not ideal, but he matters more to me. And when he left, like, I really realized too, I was like so worried about him getting to the airport and his safety. And it just went to show me, it's like, I'm willing to be uncomfortable, like to honor what is most important to me. It was another reminder. Like, that's why I didn't go with him initially, because I thought that I'd be having an uncomfortable week in Seattle, like in just the center of the city. And just, I felt like I was like chained up, locked up or something. I don't know. But then it was like worse in Jamaica. But anyways, it was more of like, it also showed me where my selfishness sometimes shows up, like where it's all about what I want and my comfort. And I think it's important to care for yourself and love on yourself. But I also think there's a narrative out there that it's like this promoting the selfishness in the world where it's like, it's all about what you want and only what's best for you. And it's like, what brings me joy in my life is when it's not all about me. You know, when I also think about other people, and I also think about showing up from a place of love and being the light. And again, it's not all about me. And that's been showing, I've been seeing that more, despite the world has a narrative where it's like, prioritize always yourself first. And it's like, the things that bring us joy, that give us longevity, is community, is loving on other people. It's sometimes showing up when you don't want to, when it's hard. Doing the uncomfortable thing in honor of ultimately what you really want, which is connection, love, all those things. All right, it's getting long, y'all. But I hope that you really enjoyed this episode and that you got something from it. These are some last few things I want to recap and remind you of before we go. Number one is to reframe your situation. If crap is happening, things you don't want to be happening, I want you to start to look for how it's happening for you. What goodness is here? What joy can you bring here? How can you find peace? Remember, rejoice means to bring joy too. Doesn't mean, so when you rejoice in all circumstances, it doesn't mean that the circumstances themselves are joyful. No, you bring the joy to it. And then the next thing I have for you is the kind of energy you put into something you're going to create. More of that will ripple. So remember the Ricky Martin story? It's like, I could fixate on the fact I didn't like that. I could fixate on all the stuff that was wrong. Or I could start to shift my energy and be like, well, I like this. This restaurant's cool. I like this view. I love that I get to be here with my love. You know, it's like, then I'm giving more energy to that, and that grows. Oh, I love that despite this hardship, this blessing showed up for me. This God wink was there. The rainbow was there, despite the rain, the whatever, you know, like I want you to think about that because that's going to shift your energy, and then more of that energy is going to ripple and it's going to bring more things into your life. All right. And then the last thing is to just always set an intention for the energy you want to have in every situation, every interaction. Someone says something crappy to you and you're going to reply back. What place do you want to show up from? Are you going to try to fight fire with fire? You know, how can you show up from a place of love? Because at the end of the day, I feel like that's really what matters the most. And when you see all the crap happening, what do we all need more of? We need more love. We need more light. So being that, embodying that. All right, that is all. Have an awesome and blessed day. Leave us a podcast review if you haven't done so. And I'll talk to you soon. Bye.